As we move into our Vacation Bible School sermon, notice it's not just the gospel message, but VBS highlights. Can we share a few of those with you quickly before we launch into an abbreviated sermon today? Our Vacation Bible School launched each morning with group leaders that were youth who took on the names of starfish and octopus, crabs and turtles, and they did an incredible job of leading their group of kids to the Lord in song, and one of the songs we sang is we just heard this morning. And we spent a fair bit of time praying at the beginning of our VBS. As we launched into the Bible stories, as we gathered back together, there were a lot of beautiful prayer times. And particularly in front of our Bible study, in which each day we looked at a particular story from Scripture that had to do with sea life, such as on Monday, we considered the story that Jesus told in Matthew 14, where his disciples were afraid, and they were invited to have courage as they invite Jesus to draw near to them. Tuesday, we looked in the Old Testament at Jonah and the experience that he had and how he prayed and God answered and helped him to get back on the path to obey God. On Wednesday, from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, Jesus told his disciples, "Don't be afraid. You're going to start fishing for people." And we invited the boys and girls to discover, how is it that we as kids can learn to fish for others? Is it possible just by inviting people to Vacation Bible School? That's a way we can start fishing too. On Thursday, Matthew 19, verse 26, our memory verse, Jesus reminded the boys and girls, humanly speaking, it seems like things are impossible at times, but with God, everything is possible. And yesterday, our memory verse from Mark chapter 4, where the disciples again were experiencing fear. They were terrified. And as they asked one another, "Who is this man that even the wind and the sea obey him?" We invited our boys and girls to continue to know after this week's VBS, you can trust Jesus. He has power over nature. He'll journey with you to help you through what you're afraid of too. So yesterday, our Bible story from the Gospel of Mark, calming the storm. Here's just one little flavor of what we did, where we would take a look at a verse. Boys and girls would read it together, such as the underline. Would you join me in reading? When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." And suddenly the wind stopped and there was great calm. Imagine, not just boys and girls, but families gathered today. What would that have been like to be on the Sea of Galilee as these ginormous waves begin to come into your boat? Would you not have fright and fear too? So we asked the boys and girls who considered this Jesus, who spoke, "Be still," and the sea was calm, what about you? Why are you afraid? Do you have faith? What are you afraid of? Is a question that the Spirit asks us today too. We would only be human to confess, there's some things that I'm afraid of. But in God, we're invited to have faith. Faith that does not make things easy, but faith that makes them what? Possible. And we looked with our young children to consider faith is like knowing God who goes ahead of us no matter how unfriendly the terrain. There's an example of each day's Bible story at the beginning of our VBS. From there, starting at 9:25, we launched into kids going to four stations, either the Bible story, the crafts, games, or snacks. And we came back at 11:30 to consider our VBS songs and a nature nugget. And just one of them, yesterday we looked at jellyfish, Here's just one thing about jellyfish that's pretty cool. Guess what it is? They don't have brains or lungs or hearts either. And so we invited the kids to think about, you know what, young men? As you make your way to the gin to try to build up your brawn, someday that's going to be a Popeye-like arm, and you're going to begin to have a little stomach. Brawn is going to disappear from you. Just as ladies, someday you're looking in the mirror and putting on some makeup to try to make yourself another B-word, more beautiful. That's going to fade too as wrinkles arrive. And we told the boys and girls, you're going to be wanting to engage in a work that's in harmony with your gifts and meaningful to you, but someday your bucks are going to take flight, as money can indeed too. Brawn, beauty, bucks is surpassed by what? By brains. Boys and girls, we said, you want to do all you can to study, show yourself approved, to build your brains, because boys and girls, Christian nerds win. Amen? They're the ones who grow our society with grand ideas from that which our friend Ellen says is the greatest gift, the brain. Well, after our nature nugget, it was great hearing like we did today from kids, specifically our leaders, about how they saw Jesus in their kids. And kids were given an opportunity to talk, as we heard, about how they saw Jesus showing up today from these different stations, as well as our memory verse. We looked at a video about Pine Springs Ranch, inviting kids to consider coming there, as well as attending next week up in Marietta for the Vacation Bible School that Shireen is engaging in for a second week. Thank you for your amazing service for God. And then we concluded with an invitation today. So glad you children are here and that you brought some friends. So this Sabbath day, we're taking off on the theme of Vacation Bible School, submerged in God's love. And I'd like for you to close your eyes as you imagine this scene with the forerunner to Jesus' baptism. Close your eyes as you listen. Tidings of the wilderness prophet and his wonderful announcement were spreading throughout Galilee. The message had reached the peasants in the remotest of the hill towns and the fisher folk by the sea. In these simple, earnest hearts were finding its truest response. In Nazareth, it was told of a carpenter, Joseph's son, who was recognizing his call and coming forth. His time had come. And so he turned from his daily toil in the carpenter's shop, bade farewell to his mother, and followed in the steps of his countrymen who were flocking to the Jordan. Open your eyes now and ponder the scene. 156 miles of Jordan River that begin with the headwaters at the base of Mount Hermon and make their way into four different streams and travel down through the Sea of Galilee, and at the end, the Dead Sea, the lowest place in elevation on earth, 1,300 feet below sea level. Jesus was baptized in the river that snaked its way through the Holy Land, the Jordan River. And Matthew 3:13 tells us that Jesus came to John to be baptized by him. John the Baptist had been engaged in ministry, calling people to repentance, as revealed in Matthew 3, verse 11, just a few verses before this. As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he is coming after me who's mightier than I, and I'm not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. John the Baptist had told the people of Israel who were gathering near him, near the Jordan, I will baptize you with repentance. The word repentance literally means to do an about face, to turn away from the selfish pathway we've been pursuing and to turn toward God. It's a 180-degree turnaround. It's a confessing of our sins and asking God to help us make right what we've made wrong before Him. Just a couple of weeks ago, I received a phone call from my beloved youngest son. Dad, I'd really like to do some mountain climbing with you. And you know, with my busy schedule and surgery and internal medicine, I've just got maybe a couple of dates this summer. Do you think you could join me? There's a mountain I'd love to climb and have you join. And guess what my answer was? My answer was, you know, I don't know that I can, John. I mean, we're so busy with the move, and there's this vacation Bible school coming up, and I'll tell you what, I'll really try, but I'm just not so sure. And as we hung up the phone, guess what the Spirit was speaking to me? That was not the right answer to share with your beloved boy. And so, as I thought about it in the minutes and the hours, and unfortunately, it would take a couple of days so we'd get back on the phone, but the first thing I said is, John, I want to ask for your forgiveness. When we talked on the phone the other day, you invited me to join you in a mountain climb. And all your life, I've loved hiking. And we've climbed some mountains together. And what in the world was I thinking when I allowed vacation Bible school prep and unpacking our house in Fallbrook to overwhelm me? Will you forgive me? There's a practical example of how repentance works in our lives. And perhaps the Spirit is speaking to you this Sabbath about how it can work in yours too. John the Baptist was calling people to the Jordan River to be baptized and repent of their sins. And we have an opportunity as a part of the last day remnant yet Laodicean church be sharing repentance with those that we love, asking for forgiveness. Would you forgive me for, and being specific about what it is that we're sorry for? This Sabbath's not an opportunity for you to say, you know, Pastor Greg told me I need to call you and tell you that I'm sorry for, but may the Spirit be speaking to you in the minutes and hours and days to come about how we too can renew a baptism that begins with repentance of sin. John, had Jesus come to him that day to be baptized, and what transpires next in the text? John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me? You can read some of John's thinking in the earlier verses in Matthew chapter 3, such as in verse 11. I'm not fit to remove your sandals. John had said elsewhere, I'm not even fit to stoop down and untie the leather that binds them together. I need to be baptized by you, Jesus, and you're coming to me? John the Baptist, he was the forerunner of Christ. He knew that there would come a time in his life when, as he had proclaimed, that Christ must increase, but John the Baptist must decrease. And given that, how is it possible that John, unholy man that he was, even though he was a prophet of God, was to baptize the holy, sinless Son of God? No wonder he asks, are you coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Righteousness. Jeremiah tells us the Lord is our righteousness. Paul reminds us in Romans, who all are righteous? none except for the Lord. And all of our righteousness is as filthy rags, Isaiah tells us. How might it be that the sinless one, though, would come to be baptized, and that that fulfills all righteousness? God had a plan with the Son of Man serving as our example, didn't he? And Jesus came to fulfill all righteousness by doing that which was right, by serving as our substitute, our example. As Hebrews 2 and Hebrews 4 proclaim, he, the perfect one, was without sin. So why was he subjected to a rite that publicly proclaims, I'm not all right. I'm not all perfect. Don't you love how Jesus steps into our sandals and our shoes? As Paul shares in Philippians chapter 2, he came to this world and he did not think equality with God was a thing to be grasped or a thing to really put before people on a fairly frequent basis. But he so identified himself with us as our example. He became baptized himself. And there's another important reason why. Because of what baptism symbolizes, Jesus asks us to participate. Would you turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 6, for a quick cross-reference? Romans, chapter 6, tells us the true meaning of baptism, what it's symbolized, or what it symbolizes. In Romans, chapter 6, beginning with verse 3, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? And Paul continues in verse 4, therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, and just as Christ was raised from the dead to the glory of the Father, so we too can walk in newness of life as we come up out of the baptism in waters. Jesus was baptized for us to encourage us to be baptized for him, which says to all of those looking on, I accept Christ as my Savior from sin. And when I go down into the water in baptism, I believe he's forgiven me of my sins. They're buried in the depths of the sea. And as I come up out of the water, I testify, I believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the best documented fact of antiquity. Jesus wanted us to accept his death for our sins and his resurrection for our glorious future. He was baptized for us. Have you been baptized for him? It's an incredible exchange, isn't it? Boys and girls at Vacation Bible School, to think that instead of being nailed to a cross, Jesus simply invites us to dip down into the water and be raised back up after we've studied what he teaches. Boys and girls, we also learned that when Jesus was baptized, there was a certain way he was baptized. And verse 16 tells us of Matthew 3, when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. Baptismo literally means in the Greek to be what? Submerged. And if you're submerged, you need to come back up if you want to continue to have life. As a young Episcopalian, just a few weeks old, I was sprinkled. And that's why, boys and girls, in my early 20s, when I came to study the Bible and learn more about baptism, I chose to be baptized by immersion because I wanted to be baptized the way that Jesus was. How about you, boys and girls? How about you, youth, who have been studying, who are thinking about what Jesus did for you? How's the Spirit speaking to you about what you can receive for Jesus? Young adults, middle-aged adults, older adults, senior citizen adults. It's true, there are some stories from Scripture about a thief on the cross. We don't read that he was taken down from the cross to be baptized, then nailed back up. God understands unique circumstances where our lifetime may only have remaining minutes or perhaps just hours. But for we who have days and weeks and months and years, God who makes all things beautiful in his time, is he tugging on any of your hearts like he tugged on mine as I was coming to Christ Jesus and said, yes, I want to be baptized by immersion to follow the example of the Christ who was baptized for me. As Jesus was baptized, and as he rose up out of the water, what would that have been like if you were John the Baptist or those who were gathered along the Jordan River side to see the heavens open and the Spirit of God descending upon him? And to hear that voice saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. As you think about those words, the Father said to the Son, while the Spirit was there in the form of a dove, all three members of the Godhead present. I'd like to conclude this Sabbath sermon with an invitation to consider those words from verse 17 were not just for Jesus. Guess who else they include? Would you read with me? From our friend Ellen, Desire of Ages, conclusion of the chapter on baptism. Read it out loud. The word that was spoken to Jesus at the Jordan, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, embraces humanity. God spoke to Jesus as our representative. With all our sins and weaknesses, we are not cast aside as worthless. He's made us accepted in the beloved, Ephesians 1:6. The glory that rested upon Christ is a pledge of the love of God for us. Oh, don't you love that insight that refreshed my mind this week? It wasn't just the Father speaking to the Son. My beloved Son, in you I am so well pleased. Boys and girls, youth and young adults, middle-aged and seniors, God embraces you too with his love. God does not cast any of you aside as worthless. And God has a pledge of his love for you, which Christ offers to us. You are my beloved sons and daughters. And with you, linked up with me, in you I am so well pleased. Thank you for considering today's Vacation Bible School highlights and Jesus' baptism. May each of us, throughout the hours and the week ahead, be submerged in God's love. Amen.